The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome. This is the, what are we calling it, Albin? I'm sorry.
Hour one.
Oh, hour one of the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm Eric Metaxas. Holy cow, how could I forget a thing like that? All right, we've got an exciting day. How do I know? Well, I'm the host, and I just have to know. It's my job. Albin, you know, too, and you're the producer, and Chris Himes knows. We all know that we've got an exciting day because in hour one, we have Kevin Sorbo. By the way, this is hour one. Mm-hmm. So that means he is in the wings and we're going to pull him on any second. Kevin Sorbo, Hercules, one of the most watched shows. I think it was the most watched show in the world.
Yeah. Seven seasons
all around the world. And he's recognized, but in America, people don't know who he is.
The two best looking people in Hollywood, Kevin Sorbo standing in front of a mirror.
That's kind of a narcissistic, weird thing. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to appreciate that. He's going to jump out of the screen and throttle you. Yeah. Okay. So we have Kevin Sorbo in hour one. In hour two, it's going to get crazy up in here. All y'alls. Yeah. Oh boy. Actually, it's just all y'all. Technically, I was an English major. In hour two, we're going to get crazy. We're going to have John Zmirak. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my gosh. You know, people keep asking me, my brother John asked me this weekend. We were in at my folks' home cutting wood, clearing brush at the old ranch. And he said to me, what's that Z thing that you keep putting on Facebook and stuff? What is that ZM? Like, a lot of people don't understand when we write Zmirak with an exclamation point. You know, it's hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's John Zmirak. But a lot of people don't seem to understand what that is. And if you're listening to this program now, you already know because you know John Zmirak is on here every week. But anyway, he's his own kind of Hercules. And I've realized that even though he's in his mid-50s, he's a boy genius. You realize that, Albin?
Yeah, I thought I was a boy genius. No.
Well, you were a boy genius up until like a year ago because you're too old. But he's in his mid-50s and he's obviously a boy genius if you know him. Well, OK, so we've got Kevin Sorbo. We have John Zmirak. I want to talk about a couple of things. We have a new I want to talk about this film that I watched last night. But before I tell you, let me just say we've got a new sponsor on the program. Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix. Nutramedics. Nutramedics. I will be talking about them more in the weeks ahead, and I want to interview the founder of it because I did a Zoom call with him, and I'm just so impressed. It's kind of a thrilling thing when you have a sponsor that you line up with totally. This guy, first of all, Nutramedics, it's mostly supplements. And so the quality of the supplements is fantastic, but they give 50% of all of their profits to missions and to wonderful charities. They have some goal of oh, here it is. I've got a piece of paper. The goal is to surpass 100 million in giving by 2030. Remember when 2030 was like a million years in the future? And now it's 8.5 years in the future. Their goal is to give away $100 million. So that's from their profits. So my attitude is like, okay, so if you take vitamin D or if you take zinc or if you take whatever, they have all these different supplements. It's Nutramedics.com. But I thought to myself, why wouldn't I get it from a company that lines up with my values? That we've talked about this with Mike Lindell. You want to work with people that they're not woke like Coke. I don't think I will ever purchase another Coke again until they recant. And I beg everybody, Pepsi, anything but Coke. And Coke sells a lot of different products. I'm just begging you folks, they are, we have to send a message to these insane companies. They are like, they would have gladly made the ovens for Auschwitz because they do not even care about anything except the bottom line.
So I saw a great meme that said Woca-Cola, and I think that kind of nails it.
I wrote something along those lines on Twitter. I mean, Coke is woke and a joke, but remember the new Coke fiasco? Like they almost tanked the brand.
Yeah, I know. Like but I like new Coke. I was the only one that was left out in the cold when they took it off the shelves.
That's the point, is that no one liked it except, you know, like 1% of the people. And they almost destroyed the brand because the geniuses at Coca-Cola, they said, we're going to try something new. Well, they've recently tried something extremely new. It's called allying yourself with cultural Marxism. Most people in America are not on board with becoming Venezuela tomorrow. And so we have to send a message. And what you need to do, folks, is spread the word about these companies. Delta Airlines, I normally would fly Delta and American, and I have big status with both of those airlines. Anytime I can avoid flying Delta until they reverse course, I will never fly them if I have another option, because they foolishly decided to get involved in this political madness. It's like the German CEOs who joined the Nazi party because they thought it would be good for business. Don't think that they were evil people. They were just cowards, like the head of Coke, like the head of Delta, like the head of these other companies. And I'm going to talk about it till the cows come home. So to get back to Mike Lindell, MyPillow, to get back to Nutramedics, these are folks that are on the right side of history, like actually. They're willing to brave the winds of the zeitgeist, blowing everything toward Venezuela. And so I think we need to support them. So Nutramedics, if you use the code ERIC, you get 10% off on Nutramedics. But they are honestly a great company. I mean, we'll tell you more about them in the future, but they are an official sponsor of the program. And if you take anything, by the way, their vitamin D also is with vitamin K. So it says vitamin D3, K12 or something like that, because I learned from talking to them that whenever you take vitamin D, there's a risk of some kind of arterial issue. So everybody should be taking vitamin D for their immune system every single day, but you want to take it with the K.
Yeah. And seriously, I was in on that meeting with you, of course, the Zoom meeting, and I was so impressed with this company. Like you said, giving 50% and all this stuff. It's incredible.
We'll have them on so we can kind of introduce our audience, but it's Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. Before we get to Kevin Sorbo, he's here, right? In the wings. Yep. Hercules. Before we get to Kevin Sorbo, let me mention also we're welcoming is the word, I think, in English. We're welcoming a new partner, new affiliate, News Talk 1050 AM Sparta in Tennessee, a.k.a. Bluegrass USA.
Yeah.
1050 AM Sparta, Tennessee. That's awesome.
Yeah. And welcome.
And also, I want to talk about this film. We're going to have to talk about this more in the future, like at length, with when Chris is on. But Kill Chain is a film. It's on Amazon Prime. It's made by HBO. And it's made by people who wanted to show the possibility of election fraud and how the machines are hackable. This is all the machines, not just Dominion. All the machines that are used, they hacked into them. They show you everything. And this was made by anti-Trump people.
Yeah.
So the point is, this is not a partisan issue. This is an American issue, and it's a world issue. We have foreign actors and domestic actors, but we don't even need to talk about the domestic actors. We have China and Russia trying to mess with our democracy. Why? To get Trump elected? No. Just to mess with, to divide us, to cause chaos, to cause people to doubt the voting system. That is how they are spending their time and money in places like Russia, China, Iran. They have a goal to take us down however they can, to destabilize us, and they have done it magnificently. Yes. So I want everyone to spend the $3 to go watch Kill Chain on Amazon Prime. This is one of those things that we need to educate ourselves. We need to tell people that this was not made by pro-Trump people. This was made by HBO. Amy Klobuchar is in it. I mean, there's Democrats and Republicans. It's brilliant how Russia in particular has played with our heads and got us to buy into this narrative that it's pro-Trump, it's pro-Hillary. But forget that. They're anti-American. So this concerns everybody. We need to reform our way of voting. We need to go to paper ballots. We'll talk about that. But we have Kevin Sorbo looking at us through the door. We'll be right there, Kevy. And we'll be right back.
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell.
Folks, I promised you Hercules. I delivered Hercules. Kevin Sorbo, welcome.
Good to see you again, sir.
I know you're tired of being typecast as Hercules, but you know, you're just gonna have to live with it. It's like Fonzie, Kramer, you know, you're stuck. Everybody's gonna see Hercules. I think it's a good thing. Let me ask you, my friend, you get out there, you're doing a lot of stuff. You were knocked off of Facebook. I want to talk to you about that.
Sure.
Because we're all living through a surreal season. The last year roughly has been surreal. We've all seen big tech take on the personality of Marxist tyranny. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's happening in America. It's a good lesson for everybody to see what it looks like when people start to push and they don't like freedom. But you've lived this. Tell us what happened.
You know, it's crazy. I mean, they shadow banned me for like the last 3 years anyway. I was up to 550,000 followers. I post stuff that is the truth, as you know, and they don't like the truth. Zuckerberg and his little trolls don't like the truth. I'd love to meet these people that were shadow banning me. They decided that when I post, something about abortion, saying, well, let's look at what abortion really is, guys. And you get attacked for having that sort of that opposite point of view. And then I started posting during COVID, hey, look what these doctors are saying, or look what this doctor says or nurse says over here, what's going on. And it's so weird that their narrative is the world's coming to an end and you better abide by it and be scared of everybody and wear a mask 24 hours a day, even though masks are like, you know, people say the equivalent of putting up a fence in your house to think you're going to keep out mosquitoes and a chain link fence. I mean, this virus goes right through it. And they started shadow banning. And then all of a sudden they took me down and they said they gave me multiple warnings. They did not give me multiple warnings to take down the posts I had. They just took me down because, well, they don't like me.
Well, I know that I have been shadow banned. I mean, I noticed it, I guess, around the election, but it was stunning to me because I normally would put something up and it would get, you know, 200 shares. Now I was getting 3 shares. I thought, what is going on? And it kind of makes you wonder a couple of things. First of all, who's making these decisions? Who are these people, these pointy-headed people sitting in cubicles deciding what America can hear and what America can't hear? It's kind of amazing. They've got some ideology. I mean, why do you suppose everybody got around this, you know, kind of the COVID fear-mongering ideology? In other words, forget about what we think about it. The point is that somebody made a decision. This is the party line. Anybody who gets out of line, we're gonna give them trouble. You kind of wonder why that was. It's odd to me.
Well, Eric, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit what you said earlier in that they know who you are, these trolls. They know who I am. Why can't we know who they are? Why can't we not meet them face to face? I'm not looking for a fight. I'm looking for an honest discussion to say, why is what I'm saying a bad thing? Why is it a horrible thing if I put an opposing point of view from somebody else, from a doctor who knows a lot more than you and I know? But we have to listen to the great Oz Fauci, because pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, because he knows everything, you know. Meanwhile,
I have to interrupt you just to say that Fauci, the biggest disappointment that I understand now a year later is that the main thing that he could have said, he has the biggest bully pulpit on the planet, could have said, everyone needs to be healthy, exercise, take vitamin D, do all these things to strengthen your immune system. Basic. It's kind of like telling somebody quit smoking. It's all good, right? He didn't do that. All he talked about was masking and social distancing. I just find that fascinating that point of view was able to get out there. And when you or I want to post something else, somebody decides, no, we don't want that. There's a party line.
Well, you remember last March and April, he was saying, don't wear a mask. You don't need a mask. And then all of a sudden, behind closed doors, they said, dude, don't say that. But this is another way to control them. You know, let's let them wear masks. I sit there and go out for a bike ride, and I see people walking by themselves wearing masks. And I go, are you kidding me? I mean, I posted something about there was three doctors talking. It was actually three doctors with our greatest governor in the country, DeSantis. He's the best. And these people all said the whole science ban, even wearing masks out in public outside, is absolutely ridiculous. And these are doctors saying that. But for some reason, oh, my gosh, you get an airplane. I travel a lot. You know how these flight attendants just like become just total mask holes when you get an airplane now. It's crazy.
Mask holes.
Thank you.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Well, I'm going to make T-shirts and sell a lot of money doing making T-shirts.
Don't be a mask hole. It is funny, though, Kevin, because it's not only dumb to wear a mask because it doesn't help. It actually hurts. If you're walking around outside, every breath you take is compromised. Every single breath you take is loaded with more carbon dioxide than you should be breathing. It's just bizarre that somebody's not bringing common sense to this. You bring common sense and you get knocked off Facebook.
You get knocked off Facebook. And I see now people doubling up the mask, even to make it. I guarantee you, you look down the road 2, 3, 4 years down the road, there are going to be a lot of people with lung problems and lung issues. I don't poo-poo this virus. It's real. It's out there. I think the numbers are inflated because amazingly, I went on the CDC a couple of days ago when we average, 30, 40,000 people a year die from the flu, even though we've had a vaccine for 8 decades. Now, all of a sudden, we're down to less than 500 people this year died from the flu. It's a miracle, you know, but you look at the overall numbers of deaths. It's the same as it was last year, or the year before. It's pretty much on par with every year is, whatever it may be, from heart disease to, cancer, lungs, whatever it may be. The numbers are pretty much still the same. But they're using this, as you know, fear is an amazing weapon. And half the country has bought into this hook, line, and sinker. And it's crazy. And closing down gyms are one of the stupidest things. What you said earlier is completely right. Get out there, stay healthy, get your lungs working, get your body working. The majority of people, as you know, are around 80 years old, have pre-existing conditions, whether it's diabetic, previous strokes, heart attacks, cancer, whatever it may be. It's from people that have, there's always exceptions to the rule because somebody got in my face the other day at the airport, my brother died and he was only 31. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's going to affect people differently. There's no question. But the majority of people, the average age is still around 80.5 last time I read.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about something positive.
Yes.
You are working on a lot of media projects. I get excited about this. You and I have talked with Sam, and I just feel like our side needs to get our stories out. It's important. We should have more channels. We should have more outlets to do this kind of stuff. You've been just creating a lot of good stuff. So what are some of the things that you have out there that my audience doesn't know about yet?
Well, one thing that I find pretty interesting is that you have up there in the corner, you have my good buddy, the Mr. My Pillow, Mike Lindell. And Mike and I are doing a project together. I have a project called Breathe Bible. So it's breathebible.com.
Breathebible.com.
And it's a wonderful, it's 80 actors that we all got together. I helped produce this. Where we read the different characters in the New Testament. Okay, I'm the voice of God. In case you're wondering, I got an upgrade from my half God days.
You couldn't afford Morgan Freeman. What's the matter with you?
I couldn't afford it. I mean, I think God can sound like anybody. So he chose me.
Did you hear George Burns died of COVID?
George Burns, yes.
Yeah, about 30 years ago. Yep. Okay, so breathebible.com. This is wonderful.
So it's the reading of the New Testament. It's 21 hours and 18 CDs. We have a bunch of actors doing the different characters. And what we're doing, we're teaming up with MyPillow, where we're going to say, hey, when you're laying on your MyPillow in bed, listen to a couple chapters of the Bible. It's theater for the mind. If you heard it coming from another room, you'd think it's a movie because we got full production orchestra, sound effects, everything, and people will absolutely love it. But however, I have the number one Christian documentary for the last 8 months on Amazon. And it's this one right here. It's called Before the Wrath.
Is that a sequel to The Wrath of Khan?
No, it's not. We couldn't get most of those actors because they were in that movie. They passed away. The only one left alive is Captain Kirk, of course.
But, you know, he just turned 90. Can you believe it?
I know. He's great. I see him at autograph shows. He's awesome. Before the Wrath is on the Book of Revelation. It's amazing. We mix it in with characters from the time of Jesus to scholars, priests, pastors talking about the Book of Revelation. It's incredibly, incredibly fascinating for people. It's been kicking butt for about 7 months.
Kevin, I just want to be clear on this. Did you produce that? Are you in that? What is that?
I narrate it. In fact, I'll get it really close there. You can see. Narrated by Kevin Sorbo.
So that's Before the Wrath. And where can people find that?
They can go on. They can stream it on beforetherath.com. So there's the printing again, so people can see that. I got turned sideways, so it doesn't get
BeforeTheWrath.com. So it's about the Book of Revelation. Does it take a particular view, like pre-trib, post-trib, middle trib?
Well, you know, it's a bunch of scholars debating when they think, you know, the rapture is going to happen. And they compare it with what during Jesus's time, dealing with a wedding. I don't want to give too much away because it's pretty fascinating. All right.
Does anybody predict the rapture in 1978?
No, I think it was 1984.
Okay. So Before the Wrath, what else is happening?
I've got another one, amazing one that just came out now. It's on DVD and streaming, Against the Tide with John Lennon.
When we come back,
and I know you know John
about that because we're out of time for this segment, but that is a good one. John Lennon is one of my heroes. We'll be right back with Kevin Sorbo. Kevin Sorbo. Yeah. Kevin Sorbo. He's right here. Kevin, welcome back. You made a film with John Lennon. I couldn't believe this. It's very rare that something happens and I go like, hey, I wish I could have done something like that, but I didn't need to because they already did it. Seriously, it is awesome. Tell us about it.
We beat you to it. It's right here. It's called Against the Tide. So if people remember me and they haven't seen the movie, God's Not Dead, shame on you. You better see that movie. But during that movie, I play an atheist college professor, which I keep telling people that is redundant. I should just say college professor. And it deals with that movie with a college student that my character is tormenting for his belief in God. He brings up quotes from John Lennon. So the idea came from these other gentlemen who got a hold of me and said, hey, why don't we do a documentary, sort of autobiographical documentary on John Lennon's life, but also make it a little more interesting with showing a bunch of other people, not only his debates, but make it a sort of a travel guide. So we shot 3 weeks in Oxford, England, and we shot 2 weeks in Israel with John. I narrate it, but I'm on camera with him as well. I call it Apologetics for Dummies Like Me. And I think people should really check it out because it's an amazing, amazing way to defend your faith in an ever-increasing secular world.
Well, I did see it, and it is wonderful. It's called Against the Tide. And how can people find that?
AgainstTheTide.movie. is a great place to go. Not .com or .net, againstthetide.movie. They can also go to kevinsorbo.net. They can go to kevinsorbo.net for any of this stuff if they want an autographed copy.
Kevinsorbo.net. .net. If they want to. Now, you know, John Lennon, he's somebody that I'm privileged to call friend. He's just a joy to be with. And he's hard to describe because he's a genius.
Yeah.
He doesn't come across like an egghead. He comes across like he can joke and tell stories and make it interesting, which makes him really formidable as an apologist.
Well, you know, you've seen his debates with Dawkins and Hitchens. I mean, just really destroys these guys with love and laughter and kindness and just intelligence. And not to take it with Dawkins and Hitchens, these guys are very bright guys too, but they cannot beat him in a debate. I find it incredible. And he does it in a sort of a Winnie the Pooh kind of voice, if you know what I mean. He's just such a lovable, nice guy, and he's just a great guy to be hanging out with and go out and have dinner with. He and his wife. It was wonderful to be that, you know, spend that much time with him.
Well, he really is a treasure. I've interviewed him a few times at Socrates in the City. Sure. I've had him on this program a few times. I did have him on this program to talk about the movie Against the Tide, actually, when it first was coming out. But it is important that we understand why we believe what we do. I think there are a lot of people that would say, well, I'm a Christian, but they don't really know that it's true. They kind of hope that it's true. But you know, and I know that we can know, we can actually know that it's true. Well, I think Tom Lennox helps us to do that.
I think this movie, when people watch this documentary, people should take notes. There's bullet points in there that John has these amazing tidbits. I'm just sort of there to guide along and ask questions that really like an atheist or agnostic would ask. Say, hey, what about this though? How do you defend that? And he just takes off. And to me, it's also a travel guide to see how amazingly beautiful Oxford is and all its colleges, and also walking in the footsteps of Jesus through the couple of weeks we were in Israel, because I got to see things that most tourists don't get to see. And I got to stand on the balcony where Pilate said, which of these two should we, you know, crucify, and which should I let go? I mean, I got to stand in that, but nobody gets to do that. There's a church built around it now. And the gentleman,
because you're Hercules, they let you stand.
I think that made a difference. There was a close enough mythological mixed with the biblical thing. I'm not Samson, but I did have long hair.
So. Well, it is amazing to actually be there. I'm working on a book now, an apologetics book, and I'm doing a lot of biblical archaeology. And I can't wait to go back to stand in these places, to see the places where these things happened. It is exciting. So who produced this film Against the Tide? Because it's such a great idea to put you together with John Lennox. Whose idea?
It was Stephen Huff, who's a self-made billionaire guy that owns half of the state of Arkansas, I believe, or Missouri, I mean. And he just really was a pretty amazing guy in piecing this whole thing together. And I always wreck Ralph's last name, R-A-L-F, Ralph Augustros. Yes.
Bob Strauss.
He's a 6'9", very intelligent guy. The guy just, he was so good to have on there as also a very unafraid voice that had a lot of opinions on how to make this thing work and how to make it better. And Stephen just cuts it, doesn't fool around either. In fact, Stephen just invited me. Sam and I are going to be speaking at Patrick Henry University here in a couple of weeks, which we're really looking forward to that as well. But what was I going to mention about Against the Tide as well? There's something else in there I wanted to say and I can't remember. I'll get right back to it. I'm hoping your people watching us are taking notes though, because I got a lot of things to talk about.
Well, anything that John Lennox has done, I mean, in my book Miracles, I write about the fine-tuned universe. Half of that I got from John Lennox. I mean, there's information that's out there that is just so stunning. And you kind of think like, how did I not know this? And why is no one talking about this? That's one of the reasons I want people to watch Against the Tide, againstthetide.movie, because there's information that we should all know. It's true. It's not our point of view. It's sort of a way of saying, this is real. This is not just a philosophy. This is not something that we like. It's not our hobby. This is, we're talking about truth. And Against the Tide is one of the ways that people can kind of help themselves do that. Folks, I'm talking to Kevin Sorbo. You can also go to kevinsorbo.net, kevinsorbo.net. Kevin, if we want to stay in touch with you, we're going to go to another break here. But what's the best website if people, you know, want to get a newsletter or they want to follow you, Twitter? Like, where are you? What's the best place to get you?
SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com.
Oh, we're gonna have to repeat
that smaller, but right now it's Sorbo Family.
When we come back, we'll repeat that three times.
Okay.
Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Kevin Sorbo. Yeah, that's right. Kevin Sorbo. Kevin, you just were telling me how people can find you and your lovely wife, Sam Sorbo. And you said the website is SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com. SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com. But there's a lot of stuff there. I hope people will go there.
There's a lot of stuff. In fact, we are going to shorten that name down eventually. That'll be the name of when they'll be on like the, but maybe I just make it Sorbo Films when the movies that we have coming out. I have three movies coming out. Actually, one just came out Good Friday. Got two other ones coming out later this year. One I directed, and I have four new films lined up to
shoot.
Are
you kidding? Holy cow.
One of them is the Reagan movie. I'm playing Ronald Reagan's pastor. Dennis Quaid is playing the president. And we've got about 2 or 3 weeks left to film up. And
you're working with my friend Mark Joseph, is that right?
That's right. Mr. Joseph is producing it. And Sean McNamara, who I did a movie with about 9 years ago already, with The Life of Bethany Hamilton. And Dennis Quaid and I both shot that movie on the North Shore of Oahu in the true story of how she got attacked and lost an arm to a tiger shark attack.
That's 9 years ago?
I know, it's scary.
I was at the premiere of that about a year ago.
Yeah.
Except my daughter was small, so that had to be kind of a while ago. I'll never forget
that. A little scary.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that was in New York, and I remember thinking, hey, this is a good film. Yeah. So that's the same guy.
I'm the one who saved her life. I played Dennis Quaid's best friend in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't know you back then. You were just kind of, you know, a hostile figure in the distance. But just that's terrific. So you're playing Reagan's pastor, and Dennis Quaid is playing Reagan. Yep. Unbelievable. Man, when's this coming out?
I would guess early next year, because the weather sort of did us in and it came in a little bit early in Oklahoma. So now we got to wait until the trees come back and so we can finish all the outdoor locations that we had already started. So I believe I'm filming the last week in April, first week in June.
Wow. I mean, I just you have so many different things going on. What have we covered? We covered Before the Wrath.com about the rapture. We covered BreatheBible.com. That really is a great idea. You said you're doing that with Mike Lindell.
Well, I've already done it.
The Breathe Bible, you did it, but he was done, involved.
But we're going to work with Mike and, you know, bring our forces together and say, hey, buy a pillow, get Breathe Bible at the same time. But I got another one that's going to endear me to the Hollywood green elite that's out there right now. This is called Climate Hustle 2. So I'm expecting a phone call from Leonardo DiCaprio at any moment now when he flies in his private jet to debate me on the global warming issue.
Actually, let's talk about this because we never talk about that on this program. So the DVD you have there is called Climate Hustle 2. Obviously, this is a Climate Hustle 1. What is your takeaway? What is your basic takeaway on, on this issue? Because a lot of people, we don't really hear much about this.
Well, we've had 20 years of them force feeding us, you know, saying the world's coming to an end when the polar bear population is doing just fine. And both polar caps are growing and expanding. And we had one of the last 10 years, I think we had 6 of the coldest winters that have been recorded in a while. If you remember back in the 70s, it was the coldest decade ever on record. And Life magazine on the cover said, are we entering another ice age? So, in 100 years of actually, there's 3 different people out there that have done extensive search on worldwide temperatures. And the graph showing those 3 different temperatures that the temperature of the Earth on average has gone up 1 degree. Yet we're spending trillions of dollars and the panic they're creating. And they're having teachers at every level from kindergarten through college telling people, you better believe in this. It's horrible. And they've done a great job of brainwashing our kids. There's a lot more places to spend that kind of money than worrying about the temperature of the planet. I think the planet, I call it weather. Do you know what the temperature was in June of 1833? No, we don't have any records of thousands of years prior to us. And there was a time, obviously, that the Earth was very hot because it was exploding everywhere, forming all the continents we have today. And we have glaciers that covered half of the northern hemisphere, because I grew up in Minnesota, and that's what caused all of our 10,000 lakes. So, we need to, I'm all for the green world. Electric cars, sure. But don't sit there and tell me that the world's coming to end in 9 years when you got Kerry, and it made Gore, a billionaire. I heard he became a billionaire because of all the different companies that started under him. And he was like at the bottom floor getting all the money handed to him. So I just find it sad that we're brainwashing the kids the way we're doing it. We're doing the same thing with COVID. You know, be afraid, be very afraid.
Yeah. Well, that, again, that's why, you know, we need free speech. You mentioned Mike Lindell. We've had him on here a few times talking about his new social media platform called frankspeech.com. But we really need to be able to have these conversations without feeling that we're going to get shut down the way you got knocked off of Facebook. A lot of the stuff, we probably won't even be able to post this on YouTube, because we've talked about these kinds of things, but that's kind of what's happening. People are finding alternate places to go, which is actually a good thing. I mean, Mike Lindell created this new social media platform because of what the leftists are doing. And I think in the end, it's going to be good.
Hey, let's go back to Zuckerberg and Facebook and banning me. I would just like to have my 550,000 followers back to follow me at places that are great. like Cloud Hub. Please go to Cloud Hub and find me there. That's another amazing place to go to. Another one to go to is Free Space. Free Space is great. You can actually say things on there like the truth and not get banned. So Free Space and Cloud Hub are my favorite places to go now. And these guys are doing great and they're expanding. They had a big presence at the CNP in Orlando earlier this year. And I think it's, you know, I'm just going to keep fighting the good fight. And I would love to know why Zuckerberg and these guys have control over the First Amendment more than our government does. And they can tell you and I what we can say. And let's not forget what Facebook started out as. It started out as rating babes on the campus of their colleges. So that sort of disappeared out of people's minds. You know, that was that a good thing to do? I mean, we're going after, you know, people that want to be going to political office and say, hey, when you were in college 25 years ago, you flirted with a girl. I mean, it's just insane what we're doing right now.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, somebody made their money through slavery or bootlegging. And that's Facebook was founded. I mean, I remember when I was a freshman, they said that's the Facebook, you know, the book of everybody in your class is in the Facebook. That's where they got the idea. And it is funny to think that Zuckerberg has made his billions on the back of rating the babes, you know, at Harvard. It's an amazing thing. Folks, we're going to be back. Final segment with Kevin Sorbo. You can go to kevinsorbo.net. Or if you want more, you can go to sorbofamilyfilmstudios.com. sorbofamilyfilmstudios.com. And don't forget to go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for my newsletter. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out. Make like a mystery.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm talking to Kevin Sorbo, who's sitting in a very interesting room. Kevin, you've got all kinds of cool stuff behind you. People are listening on radio. They can't see it, but if they're watching this, they can see it. You've got a sword behind you. Is that your Hercules sword?
That was my sword gifted to me at the end of the very final episode after 7 years down in beautiful New Zealand on the show that became the most watched show in the world. And that was the sword they gave me. And that team that made that, all our props, went on to win Academy Awards and Lord of the Rings. So kind of cool.
Are you kidding? Wow. That's
half my crew. 90% of my crew worked on that. Stunt guys, hair, makeup, wardrobe, all that stuff. They deserted me. Actually, Peter Jackson invited me to the Academy Awards for the final, the third installment of Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And afterwards at the party, after they won, I don't know how many Academy Awards, he said, hey, it was your show that helped create our industry, because they didn't have anything like that before down in New Zealand. We employed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and we trained them. And I said, well, it's really nice to hear, but why didn't you put me in one of your damn movies? So I'm working on them. I'm working on them.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Well, you write books. You and Sam, your wonderful wife, you both write books. What are some of the books that you've written that we have not talked about? Because we just got a few minutes left.
Well, we got True Strength, My Journey from Hercules to Mere Mortal and How Nearly Dying Saved My Life. That came out talking about the series of strokes I suffered at the end of season 5 on Hercules, right? An aneurysm up in my left shoulder. I was unaware of when it opened up. It caused me 3 years of hell, basically, and I'm lucky to be alive. And neurologists at Cedars-Sinai and USC Medical Clinic in LA have written papers on me saying how I was able to even have a comeback. But Sam and I did a follow-up book called True Faith. So we wrote together. It's a follow-up to True Strength. It's embracing adversity to live in God's light. And, you know, it really goes through the things that we had to go through personally, physically, mentally, and everything. And so, you know what? We're just like anybody else out there. We have problems that hit us, whether it's psychological, whether they're physical, whatever it may be. And how do you fight through those things? And how do you find faith in fighting through those things?
So, and people have no idea, you know, because they look at you or they even look at me. They would never know because we're being cheerful. Everything's fine. But people go through all kinds of hell. You have really been through it. And I know you talk about that in your books. We just got about a minute or so left, but I cannot remember if I ever asked you the most basic question. When did you come to faith seriously? How did that happen for you?
The biggest kick for me was when I was 13 years old, we had a youth pastor, Pastor Lee, come to my church. I grew up Lutheran. Pastor Lee was an amazing guy to come along. And that same year, he took us on a field trip to see the Reverend Billy Graham speak at the St. Paul Fairgrounds outside in a hot August night. There was about 250,000 people. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like this big living organism, you know? And then when he asked,
this is like in the 70s sometime.
Yeah. I was just a 13-year-old kid. When he finished, he said, you know, he have all these volunteers. I was moved to go up and talk to one of the volunteers. I'm on the grass. We weren't praying, but I was talking to this guy. I was 13. He was probably 30. So he was old to me. And all of a sudden a hand went on my head and I turned around. It was the Reverend Billy Graham. And his head perfectly covered this full moon. So I was like this glow above him. And he prayed for me. And I told that story. It ended up being in a book, the only hardcover book that Chicken Soup for the Soul did. I was one of the 101 stories. And then when the book came out, I got called by the team there down in Dallas, Texas, that does the PR and said, the Reverend Graham would like you to go do the publicity for it. He's way too old to get on the road here. Would you do it? And I was like, yeah. So they flew me around. I did all this publicity.
Now, what are the odds of that? Clearly, this is miraculous that you'd be at this big event and Billy Graham puts his hand on your head, not knowing you're going to be Hercules in the future. That's kind of amazing. Well, I'm so glad I asked that question. Kevin Sorbo, it's always a joy to have you. God bless you and all that you're doing. Give our love to Sam and thank you for being my guest.
Thanks, Eric. I hope to see you soon. I hope I see you at NRB this year.
Yes, you will. I'll be there. All right.